morning, everyone. How are y'all doing? Who all shot fireworks? It was you. You kept my kids up all night. I got it. I'm just kidding. Thank y'all for having us again. It's a joy to be here. We're going to begin with reading Psalm 46, verses 10 through 11, and then we'll begin. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for God, just that you will speak to us today, God. We pray that you will just speak through your word. You will hide me behind your cross, God, and that only people hear yours, hear your words, God, and not mine. God, thank you, Father, for this moment, for these people, for this church. And God, we just pray that your glory, Father, is all we're about. In your name we pray. Amen. So one of my favorite bands is this Messianic Jewish band called Mikdam. They are from Tel Aviv, Israel, and they're a Messianic Jew is a Jew, a Jewish person who came to Christ, came to faith in Christ. And so they sing these songs that are the scriptures from the Old Testament. Most of their songs are the Psalms. Some are from Song of Solomon or Chronicles and stuff like that. But all of their words are in biblical Hebrew. All the words are in biblical Hebrew. The music is kind of like this Israeli Hebrew folk worship music. I know it sounds crazy, but I love it. Like, I make Ashley listen to it all the time. I've been singing it in the car. I don't know what I'm singing sometimes. I don't know Hebrew that well. But there's this one song that they sing called Harpu, and it's Psalm 46, 10 and 11. And it's literally just them singing this passage that we just read in Hebrew, and they've put it to music. But when I hear them singing the Psalms, I just picture David. David didn't write our song, but I just picture David sitting in a field. It's nighttime, and he's just looking up at the stars, and he's just writing what we have as the Psalms today. And he's just singing his praise to God. He's just singing who God is to him, that God is his fortress, that God is his shepherd, that all these things. And I just, every time I hear them sing, that's just what I imagine. I just imagine them worshiping God. And it's what's really cool is that they're singing in the biblical Hebrew language, and that's the words that David sang when he was in that field that night. Those were the actual words that David said to God, or to whoever wrote our passage today. And so that's, as we read through this, I kind of want that to be the reflection of our heart, is that this is our prayer back to God, who God is, and as we go forward. So our big idea today is real simple. It's verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that He is God." That's our big idea today. And that's going to come out in three ways for us. First, that He alone is our confidence through all of life's chaos. Secondly, that He alone is our fortress in the midst of all of our fears. And third, that He alone is God, who is deserving of all glory and all honor and all praise. And that for us as believers in Christ, that we can rest in the fact that He is God and that He is in control. So some of the backstory to this psalm is, some commentators believe that it's attributed to a time where Hezekiah was king and the Assyrians are about to attack. You can read the account in 2 Chronicles 18 and 19. I mean, 2 Kings 18 and 19 and 2 Chronicles 32. So the Assyrians are mocking God. They're fixing an attack, and he's just praying and all these things. And so, but God delivers them, and God defeats the Assyrians for them. And as we see, as we read through Psalm 46, we can kind of see and we can hear Hezekiah's cry for victory, his cry of comfort, his cry of confidence in the God who loves him and cares for his people. And another fun fact is that this psalm is the basis for Martin Luther's famous song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." I will not be singing that for you, but it's in your hymn books. So let's begin in verses 1 through 3. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." Selah. So the beginning of this psalm doesn't begin with a lament of his crisis of what's going on. To the beginning of this psalm begins of his praise of who God is in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the struggle. And we see in verse 1 that God is our refuge, our strength, and our very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. He is the shelter from pursuit, from danger, from trouble. He is the refuge in which we can hide when we feel lost or afraid. God is our strength. In the moments of our weakness and our frailty, He is the one who upholds us, the one who carries our burdens, the one who gives us strength for the task that is at hand. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, he said, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul shares that through all his afflictions, all the suffering, all the trials that he went through, as he shared the gospel, that it was Christ who gave him strength. It was Christ who strengthened him and sustained him to continue to carry on. But my favorite part of this verse is the second line, and it says, "He's a very present help in trouble." This is the most comforting because He's not only our refuge when we feel desperate, when we feel lost, when we don't know where to go. He's not only our strength when we feel weak, and we're at our wit's end, but He's present. And it says He's very present. This means that God is near, and He's there with you in that moment. He's never left you. Psalm 91:14-16 says, "Because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver Him. I will protect Him because He knows my name. When He calls me, I will answer Him, and I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him with long life. I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation." For that moment when you feel most alone, the most desperate, the most out of control, remember what God's Word has promised us, that He is near and He is very present. He is our help and He is with us in those moments. And this brings great comfort to us as believers because we have this relationship with Christ. This everlasting covenant through the work that Christ has done on the cross, that if we are found in Christ, then we are His and He is ours, and we know His voice. When we go in verse 2, it starts off with "therefore." And this "therefore" is put there, one, to point back to verse 1, but also it's said with confidence. The "therefore" is proclaiming things of who He is. Therefore, because God is our refuge, strength, and help, therefore, we will not fear. So the writer is saying, I have confidence in who God is, that I will, no matter what is going on, I will not fear. And you read verse 2 and 3. It says, "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." When we hear this passage, this makes us think of chaos, of unrest, of disaster, uncertainty. It stirs up emotions like that. And there are people today who are without Christ who feel those emotions inside. They feel those emotions that the earth is giving way, that they feel anxiety and depression and stress and all the things that the world is throwing at them. So me and my wife like to watch YouTube or Instagram videos while we wait on the kids to go to sleep. And so I'll come in and actually be sitting in the living room, and she'll be watching these sweet Mennonite ladies, like Lynette Yoder and the blonde lady. And they'll be decorating their houses or baking bread or teaching you how to be a crunchy mom. I don't know what a crunchy mom is, but Ashley will tell you. But me, however, I love watching videos of the North Sea. So the North Sea is like the most dangerous body of water in the world. It's between the English Channel and the Baltic Sea. And when you watch videos, these massive cargo ships are just thrown around like nothing, and cargo's falling off. So if you didn't get your package, it's in the bottom of the North Sea. But the sea is just chaos. When I read this verse, that's all I thought about, was just me and one of those guys on the ship, and just this 100-foot wave crashing over you, and just it feels like a nightmare going on. And that's what so many people who are without Christ feel every day. And they try to comfort those things with things of this world, with pleasures of this world, with medication or science or whatever they want to do, but anything that's not God. And that's the feelings that they have. It's like they're standing in the middle of the North Sea and everything is crashing in around them. But for us as believers, we go back to the first five words of verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. That is the hope and assurance that we have in the God who is our refuge, the God who is our strength, the God who will be with us in the moment of crisis. He is our strength. He is our hiding place. As it continues on in verse 4 through 7, let's read this part. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the promise that we have in Christ. If we look at verse 3, and then verse 4, and we can see the contrast of the waters. In verse 3, it says, the waters roar and foam. And in verse 4, it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And so when we see the sea is chaotic, and it's dangerous, and it's unsettling. But you look at the river, and the river is calm, and it's peaceful. And I was, we were at the beach a couple years ago, and I went and stood out in the middle of the Gulf of America / Mexico, and just stared out into it. And I was like, this, it was kind of overcast, and like, this is, what's out there? You know, is there a big killer whale, or is there a big shark, or whatever? You know, you don't know what's out there, and it's just chaos. But then you go stand by the Black Warrior River, and it's just calm. I can't say warrior. Black Warrior River, and it's just calm and peaceful and predictable, and you know what you got. And it's life-giving. An author and pastor, David Mathis, says this about the river here in verse 4. It says, a river is water that keeps a city alive when cut off from outside by the siege of a foreign army. This river in the city of God, while it's in crisis, is so precious that it doesn't just keep the city alive, but it makes the people glad. Even in the midst of crisis, there is gladness. There is joy, even in pain and threat, because this life-giving river, who is God himself, is present with his people to sustain them in their crisis. Our God, as our refuge and strength, that doesn't only get us through the crisis, but gives us joy in the crisis. We don't have to fear the unknown uncertainties, but we have to know that he has given us joy in those moments. He is our joy. Therefore, consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of many kinds. Because he is making us more mature. He's persevering us. He is developing. He is strengthening us. He is our joy. The question, though, that sticks out in this, it says, it talks about a river. And if you look at the city of Jerusalem, there is no river. So what is this river that he's talking about? And the city of Zion, the city of God, is referring to the city of Jerusalem. But since there's no major river in the city of Jerusalem, the author is pointing past it. And he's pointing to Christ. Because we know all of Scripture is pointing to Christ. And so he's pointing past the physical place of the city of God, and he's pointing to the real city of God, the heavenly city of God. So in the city of Jerusalem, God's presence and his favor rested upon them, but then he sends his son. And his favor and his rest falls upon his son. And then his son ascends to heaven and sends us a spirit. And we as the church is now where his spirit and his presence rest. And so there's a promise for us in verse 5. It says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. As we read Psalm 46 as Christians, We have to see this as we don't have a physical rally place that we go hide to. We don't go to Jerusalem as Christians. We are the church. We are God's people, and his spirit and his favor rest upon us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? It means we will not be moved because he is amongst us. He is with us. We are found in Christ. We are found in him, and his spirit is found in us. And so this should give us comfort. And though the earth gives way, though the mountains move and tremble, though the nations rage and the earth melts, all those things, we will not be moved because God is among us. That's the promise we have as the church. And then there's a beautiful promise in verse 5. It says, God will help her when morning dawns. We hear the possibility of fears in through this passage, fears and the unsettlingness of their time, if you relate it back to 2 Kings, of nations raging against each other and kingdoms tottering, all those things. But the promise is that the morning will come. So me and Ashley love to watch this show when the kids finally go to sleep, called Foyle's War. And Foyle's War is about, it's in Britain, because every show we watch is British. And so it's during the Britain time, it's the beginning of World War II. As said, season one, like, are we going to join the war? What's going to happen? Germany's attacking. And now we're in season six and the war is almost over. But the show is about the people who are living during that time of the war, right? And it's to depict the feelings they have. Husbands and sons are going away. There's loss. All these things are going. Cities are being destroyed. And so when I read this, the nations rage, that's kind of some feelings that the world is having right now. You know, nations are raging. My two best friends from back home are both in the Air Force. And, you know, this is a hard time for them and their families, especially their wives. And that's happened a lot in this world today, but we have a promise for us as believers. Is that in verse 7, it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Even though the nations are raging, even though we don't understand what's going on, even though we can't see what God is doing or what people are doing, God is for us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is the one we hide, and he's the one we stand on. We are surrounded by him. And then there's that promise in verse 5. It says, God will help her when the morning dawns. In Exodus 14, when the Israelites get to the Red Sea, Pharaoh has sent his army to get them, to chase them, to get them back. They make it to the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea through Moses. God splits away. He makes a way for them to get away. And then it says in Exodus 14 that when the morning appears, the sea closes in and it swallows up the Egyptian army. When the morning appears, that is the promise for all believers, that he will help us when the morning dawns. Me and Ashley's favorite verses is Psalm 30, verse 5. It says, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. In moments of uncertainty, of crisis, of hardship, that is the promise that we have. That sorrow may last for the night, crisis may happen for a while, but there's a dawn coming. There's a moment coming. And that is the joy and the hope that we have in Christ, because on Easter Sunday, on Friday, they put him in a grave, and then on Sunday morning, the dawn came, and Christ rose again. And we have eternal life. We have salvation. We are found in him because the dawn has come, and he rose again. And that is a promise that all believers have in Christ, is that you may be going through a crisis. You may be just got out of one. You might be fixing to get in one. But there is a dawn that is coming if you are in Christ, either in this life or the life to come. And so that points us to our last passage, and that's 8 through 11. It says, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots of fire with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. As we read this passage, we are given two things. One, for our reasons for confidence, and two, our instructions that we are to follow as God's people. First, our reasons for confidence is that it says, come, behold the works of the Lord. And it goes on and says, what he has done. It says, he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Come, behold what he has done. He has done the work. We have done none of it. It's all on him. It's like Alabama fans. I am a precious Auburn fan who never wins. But for sweet Alabama fans, it's like, oh, we won the championship. No, they won the championship. You just got to cheer with them, right? It's the same way. God has done the work, and you just get to enjoy and live in it, right? And one day maybe Auburn fans will get to do that as well. But we have to come and behold what God has done, and he has done it for us. And done it for his glory. And the second thing to give us confidence is to be still and know that I am God. Our greatest comfort of knowing that He is God is knowing that we are not. That is the greatest comfort. So we are not in charge. We are not in control. He is in control. When we face life's, when we face fears and crisis and chaos, He is in control and has never stopped. He will always be in control. This also gives us, these are our reasons for confidence, but these are also the instructions we are to follow as God's people. The first is to come behold. We are to be in awe of who He is. God is a transcendent God. He is full of majesty and honor and glory. And Isaiah 40 says, He holds the universe in the breath of His hand. We are to be in awe of who He is. That this transcendent God has become imminent among His people. It means He has become near. He has drawn near to us. And He has made a way for us to be with Him. He is Creator, Sustainer, and Lord. And He is worthy of all praise, all glory, all honor. And the second instruction for us to follow is to be still and know. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. We have to realize our place before Him. A lot of times we like to get ahead of God. We're like, God, I'm going to do it this way. This is my plan. This is what I want to do and you're going to come with me, right? That's not how God works. Be still and know that He is God, that He is in control. We follow Him. And it says in verse 10, it says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and has gave Him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow on heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Christ is above all. He will reign over nations, over powers, over rulers, over authorities, over our fears, over our situations, over your church, over our families. God, He is in control and He reigns over all. He has been exalted to the highest place and every knee will bow, whether they want to or not. And everybody will call Him Lord. And so we have to remember that we are to have confidence in what He's done. Confidence that He is God, but also to be in awe of Him and to rest in the fact that He is God. So as we wrap up, we see three things that we didn't read on the side of your passage, and it says Selah. And so after every passage, it says Selah, and scholars don't really truly know what Selah means. They think it means to pause and reflect. After these words are sung, and you pause and reflect what has been said while you listen to the music. And for us, this is what we are to do as we read each passage. In verses 1 through 3, we are to reflect upon that, do not fear, for He is our refuge and strength. He is here with us. He has promised us over and over and over and over and over again in the Scriptures that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. In verses 4 through 7, we are to rejoice in the One who brings you joy. He will not be shaken or moved, and when everything around you crumbles, He is your fortress. In verses 8 through 11, we reflect upon and we stand back and we behold our God. He is above all and He has done it all. We are to rest in that. We are to surrender to Him. We are to trust in Him. So as we close today, what is the Scriptures giving us to do as we go forward? First, I think the thing that it's given us to do is to Selah. It's for us to be still. Be still and Selah on His Word. To sit back and reflect. And Joshua, God told Joshua to meditate on it day and night. He told the Israelites to bind it on their heads and on their forearms and to put it wherever they go so they would never leave them. So our job as Christians is to Selah on the Lord. Selah in the Scriptures. Meditate on Him, seek after Him, learn about Him, fall in love with Him, pray to Him, sing God's Word to Him. If you need some Hebrew songs, I can give you my playlist and y'all can, in your car, not know what you're singing, but it's God's Word right back to Him. Say la in God's Word. Our second thing is that we are to know Him. Be still and know that I am God. We are to fall in love with our Creator, fall in love with our Lord. Learn His Word, learn about Him. And if you don't know Him, if you're far from God, He is calling out to you. He has sent His Son to pay the cross, pay the cost on the cross. He put Him in a grave. He rose from the grave. He has sent Him to the Father. And He has made a way for everlasting life for me and you. And it's our faith in Him, to know Him. And lastly, is to make Him known. As God's people, He has given us the commission to be the church, to go out and be the church. And that means that we live out what we believe right here. That yes, God is our fortress. Yes, God is our strength. Yes, God is our refuge. But people need to see that in us. People come to faith through the hearing of the gospel, but they're going to know that the gospel is true by the way you live your life in obedience to Him. And so let these words be who you are. He is your fortress. He is your strength. He is your help in times of crisis, in times of unknown, uncertainty, chaos, and rest in Him. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You so much, Father, for today, for Your word. God, we pray, Father, that You will just... we're going to stand and sing. And like always, I need y'all to help me sing because this is not my gift of the Lord. Our benediction today comes from Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. It said, "May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." All right, thank y'all so much. Y'all have a great day.